Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
I want to talk now about dodgeball. Now, when I was in fifth and sixth grade, we played a game called dodgeball that's not what I think of as dodgeball. It's not like what was in the movie in the 90s, right? I don't even remember how it worked because everybody was in a circle. And so it doesn't feel like real dodgeball to me. What feels like real dodgeball to me is what we played on the basketball court. But we didn't play with one of those, you know, rubber balls. We played with a soccer ball, and it hurt. But I was one of the kids, especially in my later years in elementary school. In my elementary school, we went up to sixth grade. I was one of the kids who, I was always one of the team captains. I was the one who would pick the people who was on my team. You see, it was always me and Joey Meyer. We were the two who were the best ones. We could catch the ball if somebody threw it. We could throw it harder than anybody. We were the ones who were always the team captains. Now, before I was that person, I was the one who really wanted to be picked early on. Do you know that feeling? Sometimes you're not picked early on. Sometimes you're the last one picked, and that doesn't feel very good. Now, I draw this illustration because we've all probably had some kind of similar experience. I expect that most of us had some kind of school experience where, you know, maybe we wanted to be the first one picked and we were the last one. And it might have been something like dodgeball, and it might have been my youngest son loves playing four square and two square, right? Might have been tetherball, and it might have just been for heads up, seven up. But when we think about it, maybe those experiences didn't end at the end of elementary school. Perhaps we wanted to be the one who was selected for a promotion or a position. Maybe we wanted to be the ones who were selected by a romantic partner. There are lots of ways when we feel like we want to be the first one picked. And when we're not, it can be really hard for us. In some cases, it can be heartbreaking. And we can go to deep, dark places about our own self-worth. Sometimes we tell ourselves, when we're not the first ones picked, that we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not enough. Today's text tells us in some ways how crazy it is that Jesus flips all that around. And I'd like for us to begin with today's text. We're continuing in 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with the very last verse that we read last week, but then continuing through. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. Let's listen as Rose reads.
Sure is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, from 18 to 31. Human wisdom versus the cross. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are being destroyed, but it is power. It is the power of God for those who are being saved. It is written in Scripture, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will reject the intelligence of the intelligent." Where are the wise? Where are the legal experts? Where are today's debaters? God hasn't made the wisdom of the world foolish. In God's wisdom, He determined that the world wouldn't come to know him through its wisdom. Instead, God was pleased to save those who believed through the foolishness of preaching. Jews ask for signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, which is a scandal to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom. This is because of the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Look at your situation when you were called, brothers and sisters. By ordinary human standards, not many were wise, not many were powerful, not many were from the upper class. But God chose what the world considers foolish to shame the wise. God chose what the world considers weak to shame the strong. And God chose what the world considers low class and low life, what is considered to be nothing, to reduce what is considered to be something to nothing. So no human being can brag in God's presence. It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus. He became wisdom from God for us. This means that he made us righteous and holy, and he delivered us. He delivered us. This is consistent with what was written. The one who brags should brag in the Lord. Word of God.
I said this morning that there are those in the world who look at persons of faith, persons who claim religion, and say that it's foolish. And acknowledge for a second that that may be true, and hear it in this way. How foolish is it to base an entire system of faith on someone who was executed in one of the most humiliating fashions ever? Imagine basing a faith on someone born in a stable. Imagine basing a faith on someone who spent the bulk of their time not with those who were powerful, but with those who were most marginalized. Imagine basing a faith on someone who, rather than surrounding himself with people who had power, surrounding himself with people who were the backbone of the lower working class. Doesn't that sound like something that's not going to get a lot of traction? Like, you're going to talk about all this stuff, and people are like, well, that's ridiculous. Why do I want to talk about that? And yet, think about the times that we're able to break free of the value structure that our culture and society places on us. And think about those times that we break free of those ideas to see something truly remarkable. When we see, this was a couple of years ago, there was a video of someone who went up to somebody living on the street. They were one of those folks that we sometimes see at intersections holding a sign asking for money. And the video showed this person giving that person $100. And my sort of guess is that the person taking the video intended to catch that person doing something inappropriate with that $100. And what did the video show? showed that person going into a liquor store, which sort of seemed to confirm the person's suspicion, but then coming out with a bunch of food, and then continuing to follow that person, distribute that food to their friends. Isn't that foolish? Isn't that ridiculous? And yet, friends, I submit that the entirety of the gospel is about emptying ourselves. Indeed, the presence of Christ can be considered God emptying God's self into human form. The entirety of the gospel is about serving one another, about doing for one another. Not at the expense of ourselves. Surely self-care is an important part of the conversation. And yet, isn't the gospel about following Jesus to the margins and serving those who are most often cast aside? Isn't the bulk of the gospel about speaking truth to power? Isn't the bulk of the gospel about prophetic message that says we must love one another? I had a recent conversation. I often have conversations with Jesse Hodge. I have his permission to tell this story. And Jesse, over the course of years, Jesse and I would have conversations, and he would express this deep understanding that he was being called to something, but he wasn't quite sure what it might be. And we'd try one thing, and that wasn't quite a good fit, and we'd try another thing, and that wasn't quite a good fit. And yet, it's Jesse now who's leading our Stephen Ministry program. And just a few weeks ago, we had sort of it was almost a foolish, ridiculous conversation. He said, you know, we have this group, this text group, and, you know, we don't use it that much. It's called Inspirational Text, and I'm a part of it. I don't get a lot of inspirational text, but I feel like maybe we can just get a little bit of the scripture for Sunday that goes out to us once or maybe twice a week, a little bit of the scripture that's already taken place on Sunday, and maybe we can send that out to that group. And so I started doing that 2 weeks ago. I don't know if you get that text group. I can't tell you. Well, I can't tell you, but I'm overwhelmed at the response. My friends, people don't ever respond to the weekly email and say, wow, this really meant a lot to me. But I'm getting these responses from people who don't regularly attend on Sunday morning. I'm getting these responses from people who signed up for this text group saying, I needed this message today. I needed this scripture today. It started out of a conversation that I had no idea where it was going to go. It seemed like a little small idea, and yet it's having a profound impact. And so my question for you is this, my friends, do you feel called? My hope is yes. I mean, as United Methodists, we would affirm that we are all called to some kind of ministry. But then, are you wrestling with it? Are you struggling with it? Are you talking about it? Are you praying with it? Are you really working to discover what it is to which you are called? Does it feel like maybe you're called to do sort of a silly and foolish thing? Great! Maybe it might be as silly as a weekly text message that seems to be changing lives. Maybe it's something as silly as sitting with those who are marginalized. Maybe it's something as silly as being a presence of love. Maybe it's something as foolish as giving your life over to one who not only died, but in doing so conquered the most powerful force on the earth of the time. In our humility, in serving one another, we change the world. My friends, to what are you called? And if you feel I love how Paul says it. Look at your situation. By ordinary human standards, you're not wise, you're not powerful, you're not from the upper class. If you feel as though you are not the person at the cusp of talent and gifts and power. Great. It's an oversimplified phrase. My sister taught it to me. God doesn't call the equipped, God equips the called. I'm not in the business of saying who God calls, and I'm not certainly not in the business of saying God doesn't call somebody, but I do believe that God equips the called. To what are you called? Does it seem ridiculous? Does it seem terrifying? Great. In my personal experience, the most terrifying call is the one I have to follow. Because God equips us and empowers us and guides us. My friends, consider your call and how you might respond. Amen. I invite you into the spirit of prayer. As is our custom on Communion Sunday, we'll conclude our prayer time with the Lord's Prayer, and we'll do so in a way that is a sung fashion. If you're not familiar with how we do that here, don't worry, you'll be guided through. Gracious God, we are glad to be able to gather together, to connect with one another in spirit and in faith. Help us in this time of prayer to celebrate with one another, to lean on one another, to lean into one another in relationship and in connection. God, one final prayer, a prayer for those affected by the violence that took place this morning in London. God, we lift up all these things and any that are left unsaid as we join together in song, singing the prayer that Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us all. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the glory forever and ever and ever. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.